talking today with Seth Coffey, a consultant with the Oklahoma Prescribed Burn Association. And Seth, you're here at the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Convention. Tell us a little bit about what the OPBA does exactly and just what's your role there.
So, Carson, the Oklahoma Prescribed Burn Association is a nonprofit here in Oklahoma that basically how it works is we receive grants from the NRCS and all these other different agencies. That's just one that I'm naming. But basically their purpose is to get fire and conservation work on the ground because a lot of these agencies don't have enough personnel or time to do it. So the Oklahoma Prescribed Burn Association specifically deals with any conservation plan you have that could maybe pertain to fire that has fire incorporated into that plan. And by fire, I mean a prescribed fire or something that you would light intentionally with the purpose of maybe pasture maintenance or restoration efforts. So I'm kind of one of their at-large consultants, so I can fortunately go to different places across the state. But with that being said, there are also multiple consultants in different parts of the state.
So Seth, kind of explain to us exactly the importance of prescribed burns. That's something that's been talked about quite a lot recently and I think is kind of catching on in popularity. Obviously, it's been done for a long time, but you guys are really pushing this as a conservation and ecological tool to ensure that land is managed properly.
Historically, you know, if you look at tree rings and different research that has been conducted throughout the years, this area from, you know, South Texas all the way up into, gosh, north of Kansas, up into Nebraska, you know, it burned every 2 to 3 years. Our job, what we try to do is incorporate that back into people's management plan because a lot of rangelands, as they are now, they're becoming overgrown with, you know, we've got a lot of invasive species problems. We've got woody brush problems. We've got encroachment by eastern red cedars, which, you know, it's funny. They're the only fire intolerant species of tree we have here in Oklahoma. But they're the one that we have the biggest problem with. And that's, you know, because we're not burning, you know. And also on that same note, you know, cedars adaptation to fire is producing thousands upon thousands of seed every year with the hope that one survives. And so that's why it's been able to expand so quickly now is because once you remove fire, you've got thousands upon thousands of seeds that can now germinate, you know, because they're not getting burned up every year.
So you can look at this as a tool that's been helping to kind of mimic nature in a way and get back to that natural process of cleaning up the prairie here and the land here in Oklahoma and making sure that we get rid of some of these invasive species. In addition to that, though, especially comes to mind here at the Cattlemen's Association is that with the wildfires that we've had in recent years, this helps cut down on the devastation because keeping wildfires when they break out under control a little bit better.
Indirectly, it does also help with wildfire. I would say, I wouldn't necessarily say control. It can on certain instances, but I would say more of a prevention. You know, I know personally my family and our ranch, but we always try to do 1 or 2 summer burns a year. And that with the intention that, you know, there's a good chance it might sit bare all winter. You know, you'll get a little bit of regrowth enough to, you know, mitigate any erosion you think you might get. But the purpose of that and why we do it is so if we do have a wildfire break out that following spring, we've got some black already that your cows and that our cattle can go and stand in so that when the fire gets there, you know, they're safe. And so with that, it can be used, yes, with wildfires. And it has, you know, I know I'm also a volunteer fireman, so we've set backfires before on wildfires so that, you know, it would burn up to that backfire and then it'd snuff itself out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've used it, you know, quite a bit for wildfires. It's also great. It's a great tool for fuel reductions. And so if we do get a dry lightning storm, if we do have some unintended, you know, a blowout off the highway, you know, we're not going to have to go out and fight a major wildfire. And hopefully, you know, we will have already burned some of that fuel coming up to there so that it's not as dense. And if we do need to go out there and put something out, we can. It won't be that big of an issue.
So right now, is there a lot of prescribed burning going on at the moment? I know this has been thought of in the ag community as kind of a seasonal thing, but from what I understand, you're trying to get past that a little bit and kind of make it an all-year thing. Why is that, and what's the benefits of that?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question, Carson. So one of the main reasons we're trying to get people to shift their season of burn is that so when everyone burns in the springtime, all that smoke goes somewhere. And a lot of people don't ever think about it. You know, you burn a piece of ground and then the smoke leaves that afternoon and you're just fine and dandy. But what actually happens is that smoke gets up into the jet stream and it goes to places like Kansas City, Chicago. Basically, what happens is you set off all the ozone sensors in that city, and it brings, you know, it makes it where businesses, say trucking businesses, can't truck that day because they don't want them to contribute to the ozone. And so the reason we're trying to get people to shift their season of burn is to break up so there's not as much smoke, you know, hitting those cities at one time. If we can get it and spread it out like this time of year where it's all nice and green and clear outside, you know, instead of all the smoke going there at one time, we can do a little bit over time, and the impacts of the smoke be a lot less. The other thing too, though, is it's also for us, and we find that it's a lot safer this time of year. Yes, it is harder on individuals because you're dealing with 90 to 100 degree temperatures, but the caveat to that is that it's also more green outside. We've got a lot of vegetation. We've had a lot of rainfall this year, and so there's a lot of moisture that fire is going to have to boil out of those plants. And so a lot of times during the summertime, these fires, unless you really start slipping into a drought, you know, and your vegetation loses the moisture that's in it, you know, as long as it's actively growing and you go to light a fire and set it through a piece of pasture, it's going to burn a whole lot slower. It's going to be a lot hotter. Well, I wouldn't necessarily say hotter, but the duration of the burn, the timing is going to be a lot longer, right? Because when it is 100, what you're trying to do is you're trying to burst that plant cell wall on the leaves, right? And so to do that, you've got to get the temperature to 140 degrees. Mm-hmm. And so in the springtime when you burn, you're at 70. It's generally the high temperature in February, March time frame, right? So you have to get another 70 degrees to burst those plant cell walls, where in the summertime, you're already at 90 or 100. And so it's a whole lot easier to heat the air up around that plant and to kill or to burst those plant cell walls, which would eventually result in the death of the plant. And so that's why, that's another one of the main reasons we're trying to push summer burning, is because we can get more effective fires on woody plant species, but they're also safer. And so, you know, for people that are maybe on the fence that, you know, they're not sure if they want to try it or not, always remember, you know, in the eyes of a first responder, yeah, it's going to be hot. But on that same note, there's nothing else really going on. So there should be hopefully plenty of people to help if something was to go wrong.
So, Seth, last question for you is, you know, if people are interested in doing a prescribed burn plan or a conservation plan with you guys, how do they get in touch with you?
So, Carson, we have a website. It's ok-pba.org. And on that website, you can click contact, and there's a whole list of the prescribed burn consultants that you can call and that can help you with your efforts. And so we're getting to where we kind of have people in all geographic areas of the state.